Okay, today is the 2nd of July 2015, and I'm here in Broughty Ferry to speak to John Mackay. So, John, can I begin by asking where you were born and where? When you were born and where?
Not in Broughty Ferry. Not in Broughty Ferry. My name is John Stuart Mackay, and I was born in Glasgow, in Shawlands, in Peveril Avenue, on the 10th of January 1921, which, if you can still count, I am now in my 95th year.
Okay. Do you want to tell
But
us a little about your early childhood in Shawlands
I
and
didn't
all
have
those
any
years?
childhood in Shawlands
Ah.
because it was just after the First World War, and my grandfathers, that's my father's father and my mother's father, got together and decided that as my father was a fully qualified chef, not a cook, a chef, he was a fully qualified chef, that they would invest in a hotel. And the best place to buy a hotel was in the south of England, where the good weather was. And so, before I could say knife, I was whisked off from Glasgow to Bournemouth. And we had a hotel in Bournemouth, and it was the Boscombe Bay Hotel. And it's there that I had my first memory. And as a very small child, I remember sitting on the beach with my nanny and my brother and sister, and my mother arrived above us, because when I looked up, I saw her, and she didn't want to be me to see her, but she had an orange which she threw down to the nurse, and which we were to share. And when I caught a glimpse of her, I howled. And that is the first memory I have on this earth. Anyway, very shortly afterwards, my grandparents fell out, as grandparents do. One was using the hotel for nothing more than the other one was, and so they decided that they would draw out. And my father's father, my grandfather, he bought another hotel in Brighton, and we moved to Brighton to the Court Royal Hotel. The Court Royal Hotel in Kemp Town, that's part of Brighton, on the front, not on the shore side, but above the sea, looking over to into France. And this house had belonged to the Sassoon family, and the Sassoon family had built a place for them to be buried in at the back of the hotel. And Edward the Seventh had was friendly with the Sassoons, and he had several times stayed in the hotel, and that so it was really quite a famous place. And my father had the hotel, and that was that. In the end, we were there for I went to the school, went to my first school, so we were there for a number of years. And unfortunately, my father, who was an inveterate gambler, had to leave, and we went to Birmingham. And we stayed in Birmingham for 2 or 3 years, and then again, for reasons of gambling again, we had to move to London. So we moved around quite a bit in the south of England. It was pretty tough at that time, and I look back on it, and my mother she was very brave, and what she went through, she had never really suffered in her life before, and she came from a very ordinary middle class family, and so all these moves that she was having and money difficulties which my father brought upon himself, but he never changed his life. In the end, actually, he came out on top, which is very unusual for a gambler. They usually finish right at the bottom, but he didn't. He finished at the top.
Because of gambling or because of his success in the hotel trade?
I think his gambling. His gambling. But he was a worker. Even when we were down and out, he would work very, very hard. And he became a book-selling encyclopedias. And before very long, he was a sales manager with a group of people. He was very hardworking, and he was pretty clever. Anyway, I was getting older, and at the time I was about to leave school, I was hoping to go into the hotel as a trainee, trainee management, and my father promised he would get me into the Langham Hotel, which was one of the top hotels in London, and it was right opposite Broadcasting House, but was full of very famous people. I'm not going to name drop, but it was full of very famous people. But just as I was about to go, we had a... I can't remember, an illness. Not pneumonia, what
TB?
Not TB, no. There was a... what the devil did I forget the name? Forget the name of it.
Come back to you.
Yes, it'll come back. Anyway, so many people got it, and a number of people died.
Was it the flu?
No.
Never mind. Continue. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so I couldn't go. I couldn't go to the hotel because I came from. We lived in Croydon where this outbreak occurred. And there was over 100 people dead, and 300 or 400 people were suffering from it. And so eventually I had to wait until it was all over and we were given the all clear. And then I started. And this was, of course, late 1937, 1937-38. I was just 17. And there was talk of war and the Germans, and I decided that I would join the Territorials. But I never thought about the army, first of all. I thought about going to be a sailor. I always wanted to be a sailor. Having been brought up at the seaside, I wanted to be a sailor. So I went down to the Thames, where the Discovery was kept, and it was the headquarters of the Royal Naval Volunteers. So I went in there and presented myself and told them I wanted to join, and they said, well, we're very sorry, but we're absolutely full up at the moment. There's so many people coming to join that we can't take you at the moment, but we will take your name, number and address, and we will send you a letter as soon as we have a vacancy. So I kind of turned around very disappointed, and I thought, well, my brother Peter, who had been a territorial, had been in the London Scottish, and so I decided I would go to the London Scottish. So I went to 59 Buckingham Gate and to see if I could join the London Scottish, and again I was told, very sorry, but the battalion was full, there was a lot of people waiting to come in, but They took my name and address, and as soon as there was vacancies, they would write to me. And I hadn't been home more than a week or two when it was decided, the government decided, that war was pretty imminent and that they would double the size of the army. So all the, first of all the territorial battalions doubled up from one battalion to battalion to the second battalion. So I got a call to join the London Scottish Second Battalion, and away I went, and there I was, and signed in, and I joined up, and started then going twice a week to learn how to march and how to do this and that and the other. After 6 weeks, I passed out. And then I passed the passed examinations. And then that's fine. And I went away to camp, which was known eventually in the annals of the 2nd Battalion as the wet camp, because it rained every day and there was nothing, there was absolutely ghastly, and I couldn't wait to get home. So when I got home, I hadn't been there more than 2 or 3 weeks when I was called up, and I came home, put on my, we just got battle dress, and we were just issued with battle dress, and it was something quite new. So I put on my battle dress and my boots and my tam o' shanter, TOS, and off I went to war. And I didn't take that off for nearly 7 years. So that was 1939, it was 1946 before I actually took my uniform off. So therefore I joined the London Scottish and ended up that night on the Surrey Commercial Docks, where we guarded the docks, and then we moved round and round. West India docks, the Surrey Commercial docks, and several other docks, I just don't remember them all. And time went on, I got terribly bored with army life, and I didn't like the route marches, and I didn't like the discipline too much. And so I did misbehave myself once or twice, but I couldn't really get, I wanted to get out of it, I wanted to get out. So every time there was something came, to volunteer for instant death, which was to be a rear gunner in a bomber. And I volunteered for that, and thank God they didn't take me. And then I volunteered to be a Bren gunner on a trawler. And they didn't take me for that. And then I put my name down for a thing which I had no idea what it was. I never heard the word before. It was a thing called commando. And apparently, you better stop.